Amen. I want to venture back, take a look after a man after God's own heart. This will be the seventh time that we've visited David. So open in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 22. We'll read the first four verses of that chapter. I'm entitling this message, Cave Experience. I could have called it the Wilderness Experience, but Cave Experience just sounds a little better. David, in his life, he mirrors so many things that you and I bump up against. And we've been able to glean some things, some truths, some promises from what David experienced, and we can apply them to our lives. This is another place, and many of us we have experienced that cave experience. So in verse 1 of chapter 22, 1 Samuel, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were there with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. Psalms chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, was written during the time that David was in the cave, that cave experience. Listen to those first two verses. He says, "Hear my cry, O Lord. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Do you ever feel overwhelmed? You're living life, you're experiencing life, and suddenly you're just totally overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. There's so many things coming at you at one time, and most of them's not good. And you don't know how to handle that. Most of us have felt that way from time to time, or at least once. This text finds David in one of those moments. He's in a dark, dreary, dusty, depressing cave. He has experienced the loss of everything. Everyone. Everyone he depended on in his life has walked away from him. Everything that he had accomplished and gathered together has been left behind. And David is in this cave. He is alone. He is defeated. And he's discouraged. He cries out to God, please hear my prayer. Listen to what I'm saying, God. I'm calling you from the ends of the earth. He felt like he had gone as far as he could go. There was no further. He could sink no deeper. He said, my heart grows faint. I need that rock. Something solid. That rock that is higher than I. David is in one of the cave experiences of life. And you and I will visit that cave sooner or later. What David did not see at that moment of time in which he was writing these Psalms and he was there by himself and he would reach the end of his rope. What he could not see but soon came to understand was the fact that God was behind all of that. And he was in control of all of that. He is today also. Nothing comes your way that he's not in control of. He will control whatever you put in his control. David did not know it at that time, but God was going to use his time in the cave to help him to grow stronger. It's in those moments of struggle where you and I gain strength, spiritual strength. If you don't tax your muscles, they will not get stronger. That's true about your spirit man also. As we overcome, we become overcomers. And God has put David in this cave so that he can overcome and become stronger. The day would come when David would emerge from the cave much stronger in the Lord than when he entered that cave. There are times when we too find ourselves in those experiences, and we don't want those experiences because we don't see the good that can come out of them. They're never pleasant. They're never desirable. We think that all our help and our strength is gone. We've been deserted. I can remember saying that out loud. I have been deserted. There's nobody that cares anymore. Nobody loves me. Been there. You have too, probably. It's in those moments when we feel so alone, discouraged, we're disheartened. Like David, when we are dwelling in one of the caves of life, we often fail to see the hand of God in what we're facing. But I remind you, and you might want to jot this down. You might want to put this in your thoughts. That just as surely as God is behind all the blessings of life, he's behind all the burdens of life as well. God deals in both. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7 says, I form the light and create the darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all of these things. When God's involved with your life, He's involved with your life. For good and bad. Sometimes we need to become stronger. So He sends something that's going to test us and tax us. So that we have to put forth faith. We have to put forth strength to overcome it. This passage contains some blessings that you and I need to consider today. Because it's here that we can learn about the cave experiences of life and how we can come out of them stronger than we go into them. And we don't have to fear that time of testing and proving, that time of putting forth faith. I want to take this episode from David's life and I want to speak to you about the cave experience or dwelling in the cave. You see, point one, there's a reality of the cave. So the realities of the cave is point one. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1a, David had left Gath, and he was on the run, and he escaped to Adullam. Once he entered that cave, there's a sorrow that's there, and that's point A, the reality of sorrow. David had been brought to the absolute bottom of life. There was no further to sink. He had reached the bottom of the well. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be put in a well. Jeremiah was. And he was left there, and he stayed there a long time. And when Susan and I were in Alaska, we got to be friends with the mayor of Homer and his wife. And I said, Mr. Mayor, I hadn't seen a jail. Do y'all have a jail here? He said, no, we don't need it. We don't have hardly any crime. And he looked at his wife and he said, when did that guy try to break into that store over here? She said, about 3 years ago. He said, yeah, we had a guy try to break in the store and we arrested him, but we didn't have no place to put him, so we took him out to Sam's place and put him in a dry well and covered it up and left him there for a week. He said, we hadn't had any more problems since then. David feels like he's been put in a well. And it's been covered up. He's as low as he can go. He is hurting. He is broken. He's defeated. The crown prince of Israel is living in a cave. He does not rest his head on that lavish bed in the palace, but on the unyielding rocks of a cave. He no longer sleeps in the bed of a princess, but he seeks rest on a dusty, dark, and forsaken cave floor. He does not find comfort in the house of his friends, But he fights loneliness in a deserted, dirty cave. Just for your knowledge, Psalms 142 was also written during that cave period time. You might want to jot that down and go and read Psalms 142. It'll give you insight into the thoughts of David. There was times like that is slated for me and you. What do we do when those moments come? We should not expect to get through this life untouched and unaffected by hardships or sorrows. In fact, the Bible is very clear about those things. Jesus said that we would face hardships and trials, temptations. Just as they were there for David, those sorrows are a part of our earthly walk and our earthly experience. But there's one thing for sure. Once we get home, they can't follow us there, because there's not going to be any tears or troubles or problems when we get to heaven. There's just going to be rejoicing for all eons of time. There's a reality of suffering. Point B. God allowed David to come to this cave. David did not get there without God being a part of it. His hand was visible. His leading was there. So David got to this cave because God allowed it, that David might not be able to lean on any of the props and crutches of his family and his friends and his finances and his fame or his flesh or even the future. You see, we have a habit of doing that in rough times. We hear the old adage, pull up your bootstraps and get to it. And we think because of our abilities, we're going to be able to overcome. Or we'll call a friend and get their help. Or we'll use our finances or our prestige, whatever it is. But that's not the purpose. It was not the purpose for David, and it's not the purpose for us. We're taught that through his miseries, God was bringing him to a point where he would totally lean on the Lord, that he would sell out 100%. Give his heart, his life, his strength, his mind, everything. Love the Lord with all your strength and all your mind. That's where God was bringing David. If he was going to be the king that God was calling him to be, if he was going to be the person that God had his hand on to become, then he had to come to that point where everything was given over to God. If this church is going to become what God wants it to be, then the church as a whole has to sell out to God. That means each one of you. You're a part. This church, God's got his hand on it to become something, a tremendous beacon in this area. It's been prophesied over many, many, many times. And God has not changed his mind. But there's going to be some places we have to walk through. There's going to be some things that we have to overcome. You see, God's not trying to destroy David by putting him in that cave. And God's not trying even to discipline David by putting him in that cave. God is attempting to develop David into the man that he wants him to become. And it's going to take a cave experience for David to become that man. Because when he sits on that throne, his friends are going to become his enemies. And he's going to be called on to do some things that seem impossible. And he's going to have resistance. And there's going to be nations that will rise up against him. And they'll try to overcome him. And he's going to have to be in a place where he depends totally on God, that he can overcome every one of them, every incident. And God will lead him in the right path to accomplish what God has designed. If it's true for David, it's true for us. In our lives, to teach us to look to him and him alone, the Lord will use whatever is necessary. Hardships of life, he will use those to develop us. I remember when I was young, I mean real young. I know that was a long time ago. But there's little corners of my mind that can still go that far back. The rest of them go to about 2 hours ago, and that's as far as they can go. My dad was preparing me. So when I had to reach up like this to grab the handles of the lawnmower, he had me out mowing grass. And I'd have to hold it like this and push it sometimes, because I wasn't tall enough. And he'd make me go to work with him on Saturday. And if I wasn't doing exactly what he thought that I should be doing, he would find a little stick and he'd use it. And I'd get busy. Because it hurt. Because he would always tell me, now you get over there and get busy or you're going to get another one. Nope, I ain't voting for another one. Nope, you talk to somebody else. Go get Gerald, don't get me. I've had enough. He didn't do that because he hated me. He didn't do that because he was disciplining me necessarily. He was doing that so that I would be prepared for later on. And when we moved and bought the truck stop, I worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for probably 5 years. And Dad and Uncle T decided we're going to close on Christmas Day. We couldn't close because we didn't have a key. The truck stop never closed, so we didn't know where the keys were. Nobody did. So there was a couple of truck drivers that was having a layover, and they were sleeping in our bunk room, and they said, shoot, we'll just back our trucks right up against the door. Nobody would be able to get in. And we'll just stay here. And they did that because they could lock the back door. Front doors, they couldn't lock. To the restaurant and to the truck stop. And after lunch, Dad said, I got to go to work. He couldn't sit still. And he said, come on, boy, we're going to work. So I went to work. It was developing. And when I was in college the first time, some of you have been there. Air Force was in between my college stints. I was much better when I got out than I was before I went in. But I worked at a gas station. And that guy, my dad stopped by one day and he got my dad off to the corner and I heard him say, "Your son is the only guy that I've ever had work for me that I didn't have to tell what to do all the time. He knows what to do. He is the most valuable employee that I have ever hired." Yeah, it made me feel good, but it made my dad feel better because he knew that I had been prepared. That's what was going on with David. God wanted him to get to a place where he was developed and God knew, I can trust him to do the right thing. I can trust him to follow me and obey me. God does not do this to break us. He does it to build us. So when you're facing a difficult moment, remember that. It doesn't make the moment any easier, but we can accept it a little bit better. However, times of breaking up and tearing down often come before that time of building up. Sometimes you have to clear land before you can build anything on it. Get the rubbish out of the way so that you can get that good foundation, and then you can build walls or whatever you're wanting to put up. It's the same in our lives. Sometimes God has to get the rubbish out of the way. And where God is wanting to take you is a destiny, a plan that He has planned for your life, and He wants you to accomplish it, to excel in it. And believe me, it will be such a blessing as you get there, as you walk there. As hard as it may be to understand and bear, God uses times of despair, times of suffering, times of pain to train us to become more like Jesus. Jesus endured everything that was thrown at him and never lost anything. Never lost hope. Never got depressed beyond measure, but continued to trust his Father. There's a reality, point C very quickly, of separation. And David had that in his life. David had been cut off from his family, his friends, and his followers. In other words, there was nobody for David. He's in a place that prevents any kind of fellowship with others. David was brought to the place where he had nothing and no one but God. It was him and God in that cave. That cave became a place of separation. He couldn't take the chance of telling anybody where he was or bringing anybody to him, because Saul would find out and Saul wanted to kill him. When you find yourself alone and you feel that aloneness, understand that God will bring us to a place where we feel alone and shut off, but we're not shut off from him. And we're not alone from him, just the rest of the world. And it'll be you and God in your closet. You and God in that place of solitude. You and I fear those times, but they often precede a time of God's greatest blessing for you. Endure it, go through it, because on the other side is that place of blessing. David alone in the cave. But it wouldn't be long. He'd be sitting on the throne. Moses on the backside of the mountain, backside of the desert, standing before a burning bush. But it wouldn't be long before he'd be leading a nation out of bondage. Elijah alone by the brook Cherith. But it wouldn't be long before the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove would be defeated. Job alone sitting on an ash pile, scraping his boils with shards of pottery. But it wouldn't be long that he would have 10 times as much as he had before. Jesus alone in the garden, facing a cross where he would be alone on the cross. But it wouldn't be long before he would be King of Glory. And he would win the victory over death and hell and the grave. And he would be back with the Father sitting on the throne in heaven. Each of these experiences, their greatest triumph was after they were shut off and they were shut up by God. You see, these are lessons that were learned in the dark. They could never be learned in the light. They were learned in hardship because they could never be learned when things were going just fine. The truths that they walked away from these tough moments, it's the only place they could learn them. And God was pouring into them. You see, there's lessons that are learned in the dark that are so valuable to us that God will take us there. There are truths that can only be understood by those who have walked through that valley. So many great ministers of the past that I read, I devour their biographies. David Brainerd had a compassion for the American Indian, and he ministered so hard for so many years. And nothing happened. And one night he was in a cabin right by himself out west. There was nobody around. He was alone and he was crying out to God for the souls of the nations. And he was so fervent in prayer that he walked outside and the snow was 2-3 foot deep, and he fell in the snow, and he had been crying out so hard, and he was so overwhelmed, and his body was so hot and so fervent that he melted all the way to the ground through that snow because of that burden. And for days, he stayed in that cabin, not eating, having nothing. And that was the moment of breakthrough. In reality, the cave times of life are a blessing and a time of instruction and growth. And we need to see them like that. We may not understand them like that. We might not see them that away. But when the Lord has brought you to a place where no one else but Him been there, He's done you a tremendous favor if you'll glean and not fight. Why? Why, Pastor? Why is He doing us a favor? Because God is more than sufficient to meet every need. More than sufficient. God is more than enough. I've preached it here so many times. God is more than enough. And the promise is, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You'll have a friend that will stick with you through thick and thin. He'll walk with you all the way. He's that very present help in time of trouble. And David wrote it this way in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, and our ever-present help in time of trouble. Where did he find out these things? In those low times of life. And he'll show you also. Would you bow your heads with me, please?